All right, you're in Psalm 124 in your Bibles, and we'll look at that passage of Scripture again here in just a second. Let me go ahead and solve this debate once and for all, okay? We had to go back and look at the record books, and I thought it was 9, and I had to get humble this week. And it's evangelistically speaking, it's 9, okay? But the record book officially says 8, and so this is our 8th time. And 2004, I just got so excited that somebody actually wanted us to come that I counted you guys twice. That's what I did, and so that's how it got thrown off there. We do appreciate your church, and so thankful for the opportunity to come and to help you with your burden to reach this community for the Lord. And it was a joy here yesterday once again to see the lost people come. Many probably hadn't heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And many aren't used to coming to a church and a church building. Yet they sat right here and they heard the precious words of the gospel. So thank you for all of you that had a part and really God using you to impact eternity. And I don't know what part you played. Many of you were praying. Many of you provided meals for the team. Thank you so much. We do not take those for granted. You provided lodging or a vehicle. So many different things go into planning for an event like this. And thank you, Pastor, for having us. Thank you, Pastor Eastep, for all of his hard work, a lot of organizing and planning, really months in advance, and I appreciate all of his hard work. Hope you'll be able to be here tonight. We want to give you just a quick update before the message. Our team will sing, and I want to let you know the connection that Dr. K has to our ministry, and I hope you'll be excited about that, and I want to give you an update on the ministry in the Philippines, and then a new door that God has opened overseas, and I trust that you'll be able to rejoice with us on all the things that God is doing. We'll read Psalm 124 one more time here, then we'll pray and get started with the message. Again, the Bible says in verse number 1, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side," now may Israel say, "if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Bible. Lord, thank you that this is the quick and powerful Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a sense of humility, just a heart that is very sensitive and honest, that we would allow the sword of the Spirit to pierce that heart. Lord, we came to church here to worship you, and we realize that many times part of worship is getting a little uncomfortable and acknowledging where we're at before you, and by your grace, taking the strength that you have provided for us and being willing to change whatever you've asked us to change. Lord, we are going to offer to you only our weakness, our inability today, our lack of wisdom, our lack of strength, but we want to exchange with you, exchange for your strength that the power of Almighty God would rest upon us. Lord, we also do want to take our position that is high above the enemy. The enemy hates the Bible. The enemy hates the truth that will be talked about this morning. And so, Lord, we want to take our position that's above that. And we want the victory because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we look forward to, as we depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and we take what is our inheritance this morning, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do. And we truly do depend upon you. Lord, we ask all of this for your name's sake, for your honor, and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, connections have a very valuable part of our life. Most of you depended upon some sort of a connection to get to church here this morning. In other words, there's the source. You were at home and you wanted to get to church, and so you depended upon a connection that was vital, that was key to getting here, and that was your vehicle, it was a car, or you walked. But there was a connection. Dr. K and his family on the way back from Manila, and probably they depended upon some sort of a connecting flight. And if you missed that connecting flight, some of you have been there, you've done that, you miss that connecting flight and it throws everything off and you don't get from point A to point B, and so you really are heavily depending upon this issue, this connection. And we understand what it means. We were in the state of Washington for the very first time this fall in Oregon and Washington. And our family had the opportunity to go see one of the San Juan Islands. And we'd never been there before and excited to be there. And we got on one of the ferries and I was just amazed. It was hard to imagine that people live on these islands out in the middle of nowhere. And maybe some of you have been there, but we got on a ferry and the ferry keeps a schedule, so you can't just go whenever you want. You have to figure out the timing, the schedule to go, and then there's a schedule to get back to the main part of the country in Washington. And so we were there on the ferry. We drove our F-350 up on the ferry, and then it parked, and we drove it off. And we're driving around this small island, and it takes about maybe 20 minutes just to get around the entire island. And we're looking at people's houses, and it struck me, just hit me. These people live on this island, and they depend heavily on the ferry or the connection if they ever want to get to Walmart or to McDonald's. In other words, there's no such thing as going to Walmart and making a Walmart run in the middle of the night or running to McDonald's in the middle of the night. These people know what it's like to depend heavily on the timing of a connection. And friends, we have to understand in our Bible and in our spiritual lives, we depend very heavily on connections. And more important, it is one connection, and His name is Jesus Christ. We had the wonderful privilege and opportunity to tell young people and adults that were in this building yesterday that there is a way to get to heaven. There is one way to have your sins forgiven. And for those of you here this morning that need to hear it, there is only one way. There's one connection, and His name is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And so we understand that we entered into Christianity. In our spiritual world, we entered in on a connection, and the connection is Jesus Christ. And yet oftentimes as a Christian, maybe we've been saved for years, maybe it's just been a few months, but we find ourselves in a spiritual battle and we find ourselves without a connection. In other words, it would go something like this. We have a longing for something and it seems to be off in the distance. We long for real peace. We long for joy. We have a desire for confidence or for deliverance, or maybe it's assurance that we want, or freedom. Or maybe it's a reward of obedience, but it seems like the gap is just overwhelming. And where we are currently with a lack of all of those things that we just described, there is a dependence now and a looking for and a longing for a connection to get us from where we are to where we long to be with joy and peace in our hearts. And so in our spiritual lives, it is God's design that we discover. And maybe we discover again, we've known about it, but we take back the bridge of truth, that connection. The bridge of truth to God's plan for our Christianity. You know, God has a design for you to live a certain kind of Christianity. He has a life that He has planned for you to live. And you know, that life is a life of joy. It is a life of peace. It is a life of confidence and assurance and freedom and deliverance and victory. It is all of those things. And maybe this morning, you're missing out on the connection. I mean, you see it quite clearly. You're not where you need to be. And maybe there's been some confusion surrounding the connection. And so this morning, we want to look at taking back the bridge of truth, or taking back that connection of truth that would get us to where God has designed for us to be. My mind is a childlike mind. And so if you'll help me this morning, we'll look at an illustration maybe that would help, if you would help me imagine, and we'll kind of take a picture in our minds. And I want you to imagine with me that here is a city, and here on this city, in this city, it's a city of despair. It's a city that's dark. It's a city filled with poverty. It's a city filled with disease. Here in this city, it makes sense to worry. I mean, that's just what people do here. There is so much discouragement. There's failure and there's defeat. But off in the distance, I want you to imagine an island surrounded by water. But on that island, it's the city of joy. It's the city of peace. The lights are on. There's no despair. It is hopeful instead of hopeless. then there we find the confidence and we find the deliverance and we find the assurance. Basically, we find the lifestyle, the Christianity that you and I desperately want. We long for it. And it is that lifestyle that God has designed for all of us to live. And yet, there's a gap. It's surrounded by water. And so I hope you can imagine your mind, the city of lights, the city of joy, we'll call it in here, the city of poverty, of despair, of darkness, and we're looking for a bridge. Well, there is a bridge. We'll call it, if you could help me with imagining, we'll call it the bridge of truth, and it exists. It's there. In confidence, we can take that bridge of truth and we can walk over that large body of water and we can begin to live in confidence and live in assurance and live in joy and peace. We can live that way. And yet we want to enter something else into the picture. And some of you know far too well what will happen. What happens is Satan loves it when we stay in defeat. And so he'll bring maybe some trickery, some deceit, and he'll put up signs near the bridge that says, "Bridge out. Danger. Don't cross." He'll blow with his breath, he'll blow a fog that would, in our minds, it would cloud the bridge as if it does not really exist. And yet God's design and God's intention for us this morning is to take back that bridge. It is the bridge of truth. And it is our right to go to the city of joy. And it is our privilege to have the peace and the confidence and to live the Christian life that God designed for us to live. And so we've got to maybe open up the ploys of Satan and discover once again the bridge of truth. I want you to see, first of all, from our passage of Scripture, I want you to see the separation. And we'll call this the separation of the snare and the solution. The snare is found in verse 7, 1 through 6, describes specific snares. And then the words... The Bible says in verse number 7, "Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers." The snare is broken and we are escaped. And maybe some of you can see yourself just as the Bible describes it. Maybe you find yourself in the city of despair and it's dark and you would describe it as being trapped. Maybe, first of all, you could be trapped in attacks. Verses 1 through 3, the Bible talks about the attacks. It says in verse number 2, "Who was on our side when men rose up against us? Then they had swallowed up us up quick when their wrath is kindled against us." And maybe some of you understand what it's like to be trapped in attacks where you just can't seem to get away. It's an attack from man. It's an attack that comes from sin. It's an attack that comes from Satan. And you find yourself in bondage. You find yourself, even this morning, you find yourself in defeat or in despair. And the confusion dart begins to strike. And you long for that city of joy. And you long for that city of peace and of confidence and of victory. But the fear dart pushes you back to the city of despair. Or the confusion dart, it nails you back to the city of despair. Or maybe it's right from Satan and it's an accusatory dart. And you're dealing with it even right now. And you have a longing to just get away from the dart. But you can relate to what David is talking about here. And every time that you try to leave, and you know there's a bridge there, and you know that there's a better life, but every time that you try to leave, the dart begins to push you back, and you find yourself once again in despair. You could relate. You go to the next verse, and you find someone that now is, they're trapped not only in attacks, but trapped in overwhelming circumstances. Verse 4 says, Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. And some of you, as soon as you hear those verses, you immediately begin to relate and you say, that's exactly what I'm going through right now. I mean, every time that I try to get ahead or every time that I try to leave this city of despair and darkness and of poverty, every single time it seems like the wave of grief keeps pushing me back. Oh, how I long for joy, how I long for peace and the confidence and the victory. But it seems like the wave of financial difficulties is swelling over me and the wave of despair once again pushes me back into the city. For some of you, maybe it's a family issue and it's overwhelming. For some of you, maybe it's health or it's the ongoing trial, or maybe it's multiple trials. I mean, one after the other. For some of you, it might be the unknown. And all of it, I mean, the best way that you would know how to describe it, you would describe it just like David described it. And you would say this morning, it's like a wave that keeps coming over me. It's like a wave that keeps pushing me back. And oh, I long for that joy. Oh, I long to get up in the morning and have the peace of God and have confidence and assurance and victory. I want to live the life that God designed for me to live. And it seems like the overwhelming circumstances just keep getting larger and larger, and the waves keep pushing me back. Some of you may say, I feel like I'm trapped in the hunt. Verse 6 describes a hunt. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as prey to their teeth. Some of you may say, you know, I feel like I'm trapped. There's the temptation to be disobedient, or the temptation to be in control and not surrender to the Lord. There's the failures, and I feel like I'm losing the battles, and the defeat is ongoing, and I'm trying to sneak away. And I don't like it here. I'd like to take the bridge of truth, and yet it seems like every time that I walk away from the city of defeat, it seems like the hunter is after me again. And he captures me like the prison guard would take the prisoner back to his cell. And I keep trying to sneak off, but I just can't seem to get away. And so you feel trapped. I was reading about, in 2010, a man in China that fell into a cage full of Siberian tigers. I don't know how we could even imagine what this man was going through before he died. But five Siberian tigers attacked him slowly, made their way towards him. And he looked to his right and to his left. He could not get up past the wall that was there. He was absolutely trapped. And it was to his destruction. And I wonder if maybe someone says, that's exactly how I feel in my life. I feel like I'm trapped. I feel like it's a snare. That's what David's describing here. Well, there is the solution. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, Our help is in the name of God. Of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 91. Psalm chapter 91. You want to know about the solution? Here is a wonderful description about that city of joy, the city of peace. The Bible says in Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. In truth shall they be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh with thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. In Psalm chapter 121, in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Psalm 39, in verse 7, And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. The Bible says in Psalm 71, verse 5, For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Psalm 146, and verse 5, Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. When Jesus steps on the scene in our Bible, there's always help. Our help is in the name of the Lord. The leper is healed because of the name of the Lord. Jesus, in our New Testament, many times the Bible says, and Jesus just stood still. And people recognized the power that came from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was help in the name of the Lord. And so I want you now to take your eyes and your imagination and cast them on the city of joy. Because there is hope in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, you can see it. And some of you, it's very easy to see that there is the city of despair. And there's a city that comes without hope. And there's a city that comes with all of the darkness. But look up. There's hope. And His name is Jesus Christ. And there in that city, there is the city of joy. And it's the city of peace. It is the city of confidence, because it's in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a city that is without the failure and the city that is without the defeat. And it's a city that all of us long to be. And I am so thankful that our Jesus, our God, is in the rescue business. And He gives us deliverance. He's used to setting the captives free, and He can do it again. He likes to rip the net. He likes to break open the trap as if it's nothing. He enjoys, and He has power enough to shield the darts and to split the waves and to destroy the hunter. There's hope. The city of joy is there. And so we see the separation, and I think it's easy in our imagination to see it, that there is this city of despair, but there it is, where I need to be, where I want to be. And it is the separation between the snare and the solution. Then I want you to see the connection of truth in the face of lies. The connection of truth in the face of lies. If you turn back at your Bibles to Psalm 124, again in verse 8 and then in verse number 1, of 125, it says this: our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. We'll now look at a couple things that will add to our picture. The bridge, first of all, we have the city of despair. We've seen the city of joy, and His name is Jesus, and that's where I need to be. But now we look at this bridge of truth, and this bridge of truth would represent who God is. And what our God has said. It's not anything fancy, it's just the plain truth of who our God is and what He said. But then enter into the picture, if you would, the fog. The sign maybe that goes up because of Satan and his deceit and his lies. The fog that would try to cover up, to try to keep us from believing that there's actually another way to live the Christian life. There's a city out there that we could be living in and enjoying and have the peace of God. So there's the fog. We would call it two things. We would call it the lies, and then we would call it the truth. You know, in the military, the very first goal of fighting is to destroy connections. So that's why you see that the military will go in, and we've all heard the reports we've all heard in history how the planes will fly in and they'll destroy what? They'll destroy the bridges. Why? Because they know that there is a source there, that if that group can get to the ammunition or get to the supplies, then they're in big trouble. And so they destroy that bridge, which is the connection to the source that those people desperately need to win the fight, to win the war. You know, Satan knows what he's doing. He has, for years and years, he has tried to take out the bridge of truth. Now, he can't take it out in reality, but you know what he can do? He can take it out in our minds. As if it doesn't even exist. That's why the Scripture says to gird up the loins of your mind and to love God with all of your mind and to put on the helmet, and all these things are protecting the mind, because Satan begins to deceive and he puts out the fog and the signs go up and he attacks the very character of God. Dr. Jim Binney, I heard a message just recently, and he said he has done hundreds and hundreds of counseling sessions. You know what he said? He said every single one of those counseling sessions, he says there's always one problem. And the one problem is this. The one problem to all of these difficulties and the circumstances and situations that these folks are in that he's dealing with, he says all of it goes back to a view of God. It's a wrong view of God. Friends, I'm telling you, Satan has done a good work. He has done a good job of this. He has wiped out in our mind this bridge of truth, and he has taken out the characteristics, the character of who God really is. He's wiped it out in our minds, and he's given us lie upon lie upon lie about who God is, about what his promises say. And so now in our minds, we look at the city and we say, there's no hope for me. Because there's no bridge that really exists. Or maybe the fogs of Satan's lies are clouding the bridge. He doesn't want us to walk step by step and to enjoy that life. You see, what he does is this. We take a chair and we would illustrate, well, this is the chair of faith. And as we did yesterday, even with the young people, we would say, you know, if I step on this chair, all of us would understand that this is dependence. This is faith. And we get it as Christians, don't we? We understand that if we trust in the Lord. But you know what the problem is? If we don't deem this chair trustworthy, we won't stand on it. So what Satan tries to do is he'll kick out the legs, or maybe he'll, in our minds, he'll trick us to think that it's not worthy. It's not safe enough to stand on. And it's okay if you want to talk about faith. Satan won't, he doesn't care about that. But if you don't sense that this God is right, this God and His character is really true, and who He really is, and He knocks out the legs of our faith, and now we don't have anything to stand on. And maybe the issue, I would say, again, with Dr. Benny, I would say maybe the issue that is plaguing us as Christians is we have a problem, we have a wrong view of God. And Satan's won. But isn't it time, friend, to take back the bridge of truth? So although Satan would begin to come in with all of the lies and all of the fog, but to trust the source. You see, Satan understands something about our nature. We want the source to be trustworthy. This is how we're made. If I was on a flight and there was some turbulence, and then the pilot comes out and he says, okay, everything's going to be okay, but the pilot is like 6 years old. Is that a problem or not? I mean, he's telling me that everything's okay, and I'm listening to his promise, but the source is questionable. He's six. We were on a flight, my wife and I, one time from Charlotte down to Greenville, Spartanburg, and there was a pilot that was sitting next to us. He had just flown one of the planes before, and so he thought it was great fun. He thought it was funny that he would, you know, he'd sit out and he would look out our window and look right across from us, and he'd get this real worried look on his face, and we'd hear a noise or something, and he would go, oh no, what is that? What are they doing? He thought that was hilarious. I didn't think it was very funny, but then I just started watching because there was some turbulence and some things, and he's a pilot. He's experienced. He knows what he's doing. And I began to watch his face if there was a bump or if there was something that was a little unusual or whatever. And, you know, it gave me a lot of confidence and assurance when I could see his face. And I could look right at the source and he wasn't confused or he wasn't worried. He wasn't doubting. You know, it's the same thing that Satan knows so much about us, that we are looking for the confidence that would come from the source. And that's why in the very beginning that he questioned the source to Eve. And he said, hath God not said, and does God really want the best for you? And God is trying to hold back from you, and you've got to desire good, but God doesn't want you to have good. You know what he's doing? He's attacking the character of God. He's attacking the bridge of truth. It's full of lies. Maybe you've heard the lie that that Satan has brought you, and maybe he said that God is not able. I don't know what you're going through, the difficulty, but that will result in a lot of worry, won't it? It'll result in defeat. Maybe you've listened to the lie and you've listened too long where Satan has said, he's attacking the character of God, and he said, God is not here. God doesn't know about all of your struggles and all of your trials. God is not here. And what that results in is a despair and a fear and a lack of peace. And we're living in a city that God never designed for us to live in. Maybe for someone it would be that Satan has come and said, God is not good. Now that's a big one. God's not good. He doesn't really want the best for your life. And as a result, you have a young person that will be in charge of their life and there's not an issue of surrender. You have a businessman that is insistent that he would be in charge of his life. There's discouragement that would set in. Maybe the lie comes where Satan says God doesn't care. And there's incredible sadness. And there's maybe defeat. Maybe it results in apathy. Well, if God doesn't care about me, I don't really care about God. And it would result in apathy. You see what Satan's doing? He's kicking out the legs from the chair. He's making it look like we don't have anything trustworthy to rest on and to depend on. And so we stay in the city of defeat, in darkness and in failure, when there is a city that is waiting for us, that all we have to do is, even through the fog, and forget about the signs that say the bridge is out, the bridge of truth is there. We just got to walk to the city of joy and take it step by step. And so let's examine that bridge then. let's go throw this back in the face of Satan. And let's now tell the truth about God. Let's tell the truth about who He really is. Billy Sunday is quoted as saying, you know, there are 256 names in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I suppose this was because He was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express. What a wonderful God we have. In the book, My God is True, Paul Wolf says this, the manner of God's superintendence over creation, bringing His purposes to pass, may be beyond our capacity to explain, but that hardly leads to the conclusion that it cannot be true. God said it. If the Bible describes His character, then it is right. I think it's interesting in our passage of Scripture that it doesn't say our help is in the Lord. Of course, we understand what that means, but specifically, the Bible says our help is in the name of the Lord. You know what He's doing? He's getting our thoughts back to the fact of who God is. You see, we've listened to the lies of Satan for far too long. It is time to build back the bridge of truth and to claim who God really is. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Psalm chapter 135 and verse 13, thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. The book of Exodus, he was insistent on letting Moses know that I am that I am. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Elohim. He is a sure foundation. He is the author of peace. He is the God of all comfort. He is my defense, my deliverer, my father, my fortress. He is my friend. He is my shepherd. He is wonderful. That's the name that we can trust in. So as we begin to build back this bridge of truth, let's just take a few of those lies and counterattack. Remember, Satan has said God is not present. Well, here's the name of our Lord. Our God's name is Jehovah Shammah. You know what that means? God is present. The Bible says that He can't change. He is omnipresent. The Bible says in Psalm 139, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? Wherever we go, it says, He says, Thou art there. Doesn't the Scripture say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? You know, He will not change His name. And His name is Jehovah Shammah. His name is God is here. God is present. And friends, if you want to go to the city of joy and the city of peace, then you're going to have to ignore all of the fog and understand that that bridge is there. And step by step, you're going to have to understand the character of God. It's right. And allow God to build it back in your mind and gird up the loins of your mind. It'll make all of the difference if you go back to the reality of the characteristics of our Almighty God. And what He said is this, God is present. You know God is present in your life? He's there. And Jesus understands every single thing that you're going through. You may feel alone, but you're not. God is there. It's a lie that He doesn't know what you're thinking. It's a lie that He doesn't know every detail of your story. It's a lie that He's been sovereign in the past, but He's not in control now. He is sovereign in the past, present, and future. And He does know your thoughts. You know, it is amazing to me that as when we examine children, it's amazing how they think they can hide from authority. And the authority hadn't gone anywhere. Maybe they even think they can hide from God. I'll pull a blanket over my head, and somehow God doesn't see me. And it's kind of cute when you're looking at a child. Our little girl, she's 3 years old, and this past semester I had walked in the fifth one. She was there by herself. I was cutting hair on the outside with the boys, and I walked in. As soon as I walked in the fifth wheel, she said, "Well, Daddy, I just put the glue back." What that means is she had the glue, and that's not a good thing. And so my next question was, what did you do with the glue? You know what her response was? "Well, Daddy, you can go back outside now." That's what she said. Well, I didn't feel like going back outside. I wanted to know what the damage was. Now, fortunately, there was no damage. But it's so funny to us when we look at kids. And somehow they think that they can just so easily hide from authority, even pull a blanket over their heads and hide from God. And yet they're missing a truth. And I'm afraid what happens then as we go into adulthood and we understand all of these spiritual things and somehow we think we've got it all together, that somehow we think that God hides from us. Friends, both of those are lies. You can't hide from God, nor does God hide from you. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yeah, the issue is building back the bridge of faith. Number two, He is Jehovah Rohi. The word means He is our shepherd. This is the counterattack. That maybe Satan has come to you and you have believed the lie that he's looking for you to make a mistake. You ever get that sense? God's standing over there with a big stick and he just loves to see you make a mistake and he delights in punishing you and maybe he drives you and he likes it to lead you by guilt and you think for some reason that it's actually God when it's Satan when you sense the accusing and when you sense the fear and you sense the confusion. In reality, all of those are the source of Satan. It can't be God. He's not the author of confusion and he doesn't cause fear that like Satan does. And so we've got to go back to build the bridge of faith and understand that the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. You know, if you ever have examined or maybe read about what a shepherd does with a sheep, the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. And the sheep, maybe he's injured, and let's just allow God to build back in our mind who God really is. Our God is a gentle shepherd, and just as the sheep would go to his shepherd and he would understand the voice and long to be near that shepherd, and the shepherd will allow that sheep who is injured or who's sick or hurt, allow that sheep to just lean against the shepherd's leg and care for tenderly the needs of that sheep. Friends, that's your God. That's my God. My God is a shepherd. His name will never change. And as we allow in our mind to build back that bridge of truth, let's go back and depend upon that name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His name is Jehovah Rohi. His name is Shepherd. Number three, He is Jehovah Jireh. He is provider of all that is good. Have you heard the lie recently from Satan? He'll come to you and he'll say, God is not good. If you surrender your life to the Lord, well, you're going to get something in return and it cannot be good. God has allowed these things to happen in the financial issues and the health issues and the trials that keep multiplying and the unknowns that are out there. All of these things are because God is not good. Though you maybe would never say it out loud, something in your heart has caused you to believe that somehow that's true. And now you're stuck. You're stuck in the city of defeat and failure and it's dark here and there's no joy and there's no confidence and there's no peace. And yet, deep down, you long for it. You long for the joy. You long for the peace. And yet, to get there, you've got to walk on the bridge of truth. You've got to allow God to build back who He really is. And understand who He really is. And our God is Jehovah Jireh. He is good and He doeth good. The Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse 17, how precious also are all thy thoughts towards me. O God, how great is the sum of them. You know, He doesn't sit around and think of punishments and sit around and withhold forgiveness and want us to be miserable. He's constantly thinking about how He can provide the best for us. That's our God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil or misery, to give you an expected, a hopeful end. He perfects that which concerneth me. You know, you can sleep well tonight. God is still at work. He is working things together for good, and you don't know what's on the other side. And it's like walking through a dark jungle, and it just keeps on, it keeps going and going and going. But you know, anybody can walk through a jungle if it's only 10 yards wide, and yet in God's eyes, it's really not long at all. He knows the He knows the end result, and He's working right now. As you sleep tonight, as you sit in church tonight, the Bible says He's working it together for good, and He's perfecting that which concerneth you. And what we've got to do is confidently put our feet down on that bridge and allow God to build that bridge back in our life and walk then to the city of joy and experience the peace that God designed for us to have and experience the confidence that God has designed for us to have. And then lastly, He is Jehovah Elohim. That means He is eternal Creator. That exposes the lie that said God is not able. But friends, God is able. He is able. Psalm chapter 124 and verse 8, it says, "Who made heaven and earth?" He never ceases to be all-powerful. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, "Let them that suffer commit the keeping of their souls to Him." And I think this is very interesting. It says, "As unto a faithful Creator." Who you're trusting in is the same God that sent this thunderstorm, and it has the power over heaven, has the power over earth. That's the Creator God. And as you build back in your mind this bridge of faith, may you confidently put your feet down on this truth that our God is the Creator God. That's who you trust in. Forget the lie that says, well, God is not able. These circumstances are so overwhelming. All the financial troubles are too overwhelming. God cannot meet these needs. No, friends, God is able. His name says that He's able. I think what's happened is that we have let the enemy get between us and the truth. It's time we take the truth back. It's time we take the bridge back. It's ours. It's our inheritance. It's the character of God. If you've read anything about the eagle, the eagle's a fascinating bird. And birds have, they see in two different images. They have one eye that will see a separate image, and then they will see a different image, and somehow their brain puts it together. But eagles and hawks, they have something that's a little bit different. They actually see in four different images. They have two images per eye. In fact, their eyes, the retina, is so compact with all kinds of specialized cells that their vision is unbelievable. An eagle can spot up to 2 miles away. It can spot a fish. Could you imagine? An eagle, as opposed to the hawks, an eagle is the only bird that has two sets of eyelids. One eyelid is used to open and shut for hunting. And you know what the other eyelid is used for? To fly directly into the sun. It's the only bird that can do this. And so when the enemy comes and begins to attack the eagle, you know what he does? He never lets the enemy get between him and the sun. He always takes off and he'll fly with a special eyelid. He'll fly directly into the sun, and the birds of prey and those enemies of the eagle, it can't find him. It can't follow him there and fly into the sun. You know, friends, that's exactly what we've got to do to take back this bridge of truth. We have let the enemy for far too long get between us and the S-O-N, the sun. It is time that we leave the enemy in the dust and we fly straight towards the name of our God, the name of Jesus Christ, and we take back the truth and we take back the character of our God and learn to walk into the city of joy and to live in the city of peace and to live in confidence and to live in victory and in assurance in all that God has designed for us to live the Christian life. And so lastly, we see then what is our responsibility. Someone would say, well, I'm encouraged. I'm thankful for this psalm and this passage of Scripture. Well, if we're going to get honest with the Lord, I don't believe that it's enough just to be encouraged for some of us. Some of you have been encouraged before, but you've run back to despair. I believe the key here is an active dependence or a trust that fulfills our responsibility. You see, we got to choose unbelief or faith. And let's not for a second think that unbelief is some sort of casual sin that God doesn't see as a big deal. God says very clearly, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, let's just be honest and be humble enough to recognize this is what's happened. You're in the city of despair, and there's been defeat and there's been failure, and your life has been miserable. You're taking it out on your husband, taking it out on your wife, taking it out on your kids, and there's no joy in your life. And the circumstances are difficult, and there is a sense of encouragement that comes from the Lord this morning, and praise the Lord for that. But let's get to the solution, and we're going to have to be honest and be humble about it. Your issue is unbelief. It's unbelief. When you believe the lie of Satan, and he says the bridge is out, and you say, okay, I guess it is, I'll stay here, that's unbelief. When you get to the bridge and the fog is so dense that you say, well, I guess there's actually no city of joy. I guess that maybe God doesn't care, or He's not the shepherd, or maybe God isn't here. And you believe the lie of Satan and you walk away from the joy that God designed for you to live. Friends, that's unbelief. As you get right with God this morning, we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to call sin what You've called it. And You've called it unbelief. Oh Lord, would You forgive me? It's sin. It is unbelief. The access is walking in Him. The access is faith. And may we just maintain a habit of quickly accessing the city. As the darts push you back, you immediately access again the bridge of faith. As the waves seem to come over top of you, you immediately access by faith of what you know to be true about your God. And rest on that character. And rest on the promises of God. And keep going back. Refuse to let Satan keep you where he wants you. And allow God to get the glory as you live the abundant Christian life. As you live the best life that God designed for you to live. Well, God gets all the glory when you learn to live in dependence. We ought to love the name of Jesus. We have several hymns that talk specifically about the name of Jesus. I want you to listen to this hymn in closing. No other name has meant so much to me. I've learned to know a name I highly treasure. Oh, how it thrills my spirit through and through. Oh, precious name beyond degree or measure. My heart is stirred whene'er I think of You. My heart is stirred whene'er I think of Jesus. That blessed name which sets the captive free. The only name through which I find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. That name brings gladness to a soul in sorrow. It makes life's shadows and its clouds depart. It brings strength in weakness for today, tomorrow. That name brings healing to an aching heart. My heart is stirred whene'er I think of Jesus. That blessed name which sets the captive free. The only name through which I find salvation. No name on earth has meant so much to me. Friends, I don't know how God has dealt with you this morning, but isn't it time that we take back that bridge and we allow our minds to once again rest on the blessed name of our Jesus, resisting the attack of Satan and take back the bridge and live the life that God designed for us to live. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around.